sooner do we fix the issue of clothing dyes polluting Chinese rivers than we hear about abuse of a garment workers in Vietnam. Every day there's a new issue within the fashion industry to worry about. So what should consumers do if they want to shop ethically? On a bright spring day in London, Used, a community interest company, brought together some experts to talk about how to be an informed shopper. We joined Sarah from Used as she introduced us to her esteemed guests.
We're fortunate enough today to be joined by some lovely people that work in ethical fashion. We've got Lila from Trade, Anna from Here to Stay, Here Tomorrow, and Nadia from War on Want. And we're going to be talking about how to be an informed consumer. I'm quite often asked, where should I buy my clothes? Most of us know that if we buy a t-shirt for £1, we can safely say that the garment worker would not be paid a fair wage. The average Bangladeshi worker gets paid 16p a day to make our clothes. If we buy from Topshop, we know that Philip Green doesn't pay his corporation tax. I mean, should we even still be buying cotton, considering it takes 20,000 litres of water to make one t-shirt, and we don't have infinite resources to keep consuming at the rate that we do? As a consumer, should we not be able to demand a transparent supply chain? Should we know where our clothes come from, as we do when we go food shopping? We see labels and we know where things come from. So the scope of the topic today is quite broad. So after each of the speakers have given you an insight into their fashion world, I'm going to hand over the conversation to you guys to ask some questions and hopefully get a bit of a discussion going. So I'm going to start with Lila, and Lila's going to talk to you now.
Hello everyone. I've been working for Trade for 6 years and I'm the head of education there. And just in case any of you don't know, I'll just tell you quickly what Trade do. We're an alternative choice to clothing on the high street. We sell a high volume of high quality second-hand clothing, modelled by many people in the audience, including myself. By doing that, we're offering clothing that reduces consumption, that reduces landfill, but also creates change within the fashion industry. We collect our clothing by having over 1,000 textile banks across the country where people can give us their clothing, and we add value to that clothing by valuing it, by sorting it in our warehouse in Wembley. There we can work out what the best thing to do with our textile waste is, and we have a huge amount of textile waste in the UK, clothing that people have bought but no longer want. In fact, nearly 2 million tonnes of clothing is discarded in the UK every year, so there is already a huge resource for us to be using. And at Trade, we take value out of that resource, not just by offering it back to the UK to buy again, meaning it's not clogging up landfills or being burnt and wasted, but also by taking a profit out of that clothing that we can then put back into the industry to change it. And we fund really exciting projects around the world that are working with people creating our new clothes to make that better. But there are, as Sarah said, lots of problems that we already know exist within the textile supply chain. It's really complicated. That's one of the things that H&M said about their own industry when they're saying, can they be sustainable? Can they have sustainable production? And they said, their answer was, we don't even know where our production is. So being able to make the whole thing sustainable is very difficult. Now, that to me is completely shocking, that you can run a business and say, I don't really know what my business is, so how can you expect me to do it well? That was so astounding. And what we hope that Trade are doing with our projects is by trying to burrow into that supply chain, by trying to find out as much about it as we can, and that hopefully we're slowly becoming more conscious by doing that, by finding out, by asking those questions. And we're really lucky to have such fantastic international development partners, and sharing the table with one today, that are doing that kind of investigation for us, for all of us, and actually changing that supply chain by working with people trying to improve those garment workers' lives and improve the environment. I was lucky enough last year in May to go and visit some of our projects, and I went to visit them in Tamil Nadu in the south of India. And just as an illustration of how complicated our fashion industry has become, I went to visit garment workers, young girls that had been pulled out of spinning mills. So spinning mills is where our raw cotton that has been grown using as much water, as Sarah said, I can't remember the fact, and pesticides and however it's been produced, that raw cotton is then has to be taken and spun into thread before it can even be made into cloth. There's so many processes in the supply chain where people, you know, I think 2 billion people work in the textile supply chain. And that spinning process, a lot of it for cotton is done in the south of India. There's this giant belt across Tamil Nadu, the spinning belt. And it's done by children, a lot of it. And we went past a lot of these spinning mills and they look like prisons. They have high walls with barbed wire on the top. And when we were talking to those girls about the conditions in those mills, it was absolutely horrendous. They were similar to conditions that I had researched and found in the Victorian times in the north of England, but actually worse. And the things that the girls were saying, that they were given food that had bugs in it and they didn't want to eat, but then they didn't eat, and if they didn't eat, then they'd faint at work, and then if they fainted at work, they'd have their salary taken away for the day. There's so much going on in every stage. I think as a consumer, it can be really, really difficult, really difficult to know and understand and be informed, because even I, working in the sector, didn't know about how awful the conditions were in the spinning end of our cotton. So that cotton is then taken as thread and made into our garments, and where that goes is really difficult. One of the girls said, we asked them what they do with the cotton, where do they think it goes, and they said, I don't know where it goes, it just goes down a black hole, because they drop it down this hole. And that, to me, illustrated the sort of blank, the blackout that we have on our supply chain. We don't really know what's going on. So I think to ask how we can be an informed consumer is really difficult. I don't know how you can be an informed consumer unless you dedicate your life to finding out all of these stories. It's really impossible if you want to buy on the high street to know where a particular garment came from. But my point from trade is obviously is that this complicated story I find it really difficult to understand, and I think this is why I'm really proud that we support projects that are working on a pre-consumer decision to try to make clothes that are ethical in the first place. Now, that is really easy to do if you have a very short supply chain, and it's easy if you can see it all, like if you're working with an individual designer and you can see that they've made it and where they've got their materials from, then you can be an informed consumer because your supply chain is short and it's visible. And if it's not, then, and we're working on the high street to be able to know that there are projects happening that are trying to change that. So that was my wandering through, that actually, for me coming from trade, it's easy to be an informed consumer. Through our shops, you can have access to hundreds of tons of ethical secondhand clothing that is saved as waste, that you can buy, that will then change the industry through the profits that it makes. So that's a fantastic option to be an informed consumer, and otherwise to just stop and think.
So I run Here Today, Here Tomorrow. I'm Anna, and another member is Caitlin, sitting in the front. Basically, we're a shop studio on Balls Pond Road. We set the shop up about 1.5 years ago, and the idea being that basically we're making the clothes that we sell in the shop. It's kind of nice that people, while it's in a high street shop, they can't ask people either what and how, where things come from, basically. In our shop, we like it when customers come in, they can ask us how the things are made, where the fabrics are coming from as well. So many of our fabrics as well are recycled or they've been donated by us. But yeah, it's kind of just being kind of a transparent supply chain within our little shop, which also brings me to that we've started a production group with Nepal. We're working there with a fair trade group. And so two of us went out to Nepal to actually know exactly with who we're working, to meet the management team there, to meet the producers there, to know exactly which standards they're working in and how much they're being paid.
How do you find competing as an independent designer with the high street?
I think we're not competing with them. I think we're something different. So So what we do is something that, yeah, I don't think you can even compare it, because I think people who shop at our place, they might also shop at Primark, but they kind of, they'll just value the product in a different way afterwards.
No idea.
All right, how can we be an informed consumer is the question that we're asked to address today. And I would like to make a suggestion that one of the best ways to be an informed consumer is not to think as yourself as a consumer at all. Let's think of ourselves as citizens, and let's not define ourselves by what we buy. And that's my suggestion. I'd like to talk through that a bit, through what War and Want does today. Through our actions here in this country, we can actually do a lot to affect the supply chain itself and try and sort of curb the fast fashion industry. I'll tell you a little bit more now about the specific actions that you can do. Before I do that, I'll tell you the story of how we got to the point of deciding that actually what we need to do is take citizen action and look at the point of how we can affect change. So in 2006, we produced our first report. It was called, this is Fashion Victims 2, but it was called Fashion Victims 1. And there are copies of all our lovely reports in the back, free for you to pick up. But we did some undercover research with our partners in Bangladesh, the National Garment Workers Federation. And they found that young women were being paid 5p an hour to work an 80-hour week to produce clothes for Primark, Asda and Tesco. So we went and looked, and Primark and Asda came and talked to us. Tesco told us, you're not worth our time, which is quite typical. But we said to them, look, you need to be paying those women a living wage. We talked to the companies, and the companies said, yes, don't worry, we care, of course we care. Put nice, fluffy things on their website for a lot of the companies about how they have a nice little project somewhere doing something. But we kept going back in 2007, 2008, 2009, and we teamed up with Labour Behind the Label and went to all sorts of different countries to do more research, and found that it wasn't just Tesco, Asda and Primark, it was H&M, Monsoon, Marks and Spencer's, all of them basically. Almost every brand on the high street was in some way exploiting labour to produce clothes for their shops. But it's not just, you know, that they're not paying a living wage, it's the recruitment of young women who are coming from usually, you know, agricultural villages to try and find work in the cities, in Bangladesh, in Dhaka and other places. All sorts of things go on, like sexual harassment. We've heard stories about women who are not allowed, were not given maternity leave, people having their holidays cancelled, unpaid overtime. The girls in Vietnam who've had their eyes held open with clothes pegs so that they wouldn't fall asleep while they're working on sewing machines. So, I mean, they're real, real horror stories. And this is what our high street is absolutely dependent on. The main point here is, there is no incentive in UK law for any UK company to do anything but pay profit for their shareholders, okay? So we've found out that really the only way that we can systemically change this problem is to get a piece of UK legislation, which we worked on with our partners, which would force any UK company to pay a living wage, uphold human rights and allow for collective bargaining, that is to say for women to join a trade union to be able to fight for better wages on the ground in those countries. Because unless we nip it in the bud from the UK side, it's not going to change in a sort of systemic way. Now, of course, that's a very long game, and we want everyone to write to their MPs. It sounds a bit boring, but I've got the action cards in the back to write, to try and get as many MPs to join the all-party parliamentary group on business, human rights and the environment. It's not a very sexy thing to do, but it's one of those things that we just need ongoing pressure on. We also started the Love Fashion Hate Sweatshops campaign, which you can see posters around, again, stuff in the back. And we did that on purpose because we wanted young people around this country to know that it's not about being anti-fashion and saying that, you know, if you care about people in poor countries, you have to not like clothes. It's like, no, that's not what it's about. It's about also taking action and making sure we can all be part of a campaign and say to our government, why are you not regulating these companies? Because we know that they can afford to live to pay a living wage. It's not that they wouldn't be making profit. It's that they'd have to take a tiny cut in their profit so that women get paid £44 a month rather than £20, which is what it is, for example, in Bangladesh. I've probably gone on for a bit, but before I stop, I just want to let everyone know about our latest thing that we'll be doing. We've just launched our Race to the Bottom report about the Olympic sportswear companies. Because, again, we went back and did some research and found that the Olympic sponsors, who are wrapping themselves in the Olympic flag and the Olympic ideal, which has the word human rights written into its mission statement, that they are all exploiting labour to produce clothes, you know, for Adidas and Nike and Puma. And it's the same problem over again. And we're trying to use the opportunity of the Olympics to highlight that issue so people who are maybe into wearing sportswear lines know that they need to keep up the pressure on those companies as well. I'll just end by saying that we believe in long, sustainable change, and we can get there. We are a global justice charity, but it is all about taking action here in this country as well and actually doing something in terms of on the political landscape. But we can, and we can do it together, I promise you, but we've got to all help. Okay.
Right, so I was wondering if anyone's got any questions.
Yeah, I had a quick question. So everything you've been saying has been great and really interesting, but... So how do you suggest people buy? Do you suggest people buy secondhand or don't buy from Primark? How can you ethically shop, or can you not? Is it only through trade? What practical
in that? Have to buy it here today, tomorrow.
Or of course. That's it. Got two shops now. We're opening a shop in Dawson, so it's going to be really easy.
But what I mean is, I think that obviously you've got to tackle the fact that people feel that they need stuff all the time, and there's this idea that if you buy stuff, like you said, it's going to make you feel better. Or is it the fact that we just need to really think about the fact that we need to just have much less stuff and really value those things?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get that message to people?
Is that a good answer? I think what you're saying is I want people to do all of those things. I work with Sarah on an education program, and valuing the clothing is the first step on any of those journeys. And by valuing that clothing, it's valuing what it's been made out of, who it's been made by, and what it's actually worth. You know, not even financially and emotionally to you or to someone else. And so that we can try to get the most out of what we've already got, and to try to make the most out of each piece of clothing. And if you can do that, then you start, if you're valuing the garment worker, then you can start thinking about, well, where can I buy clothes that value the garment worker? Where can I buy clothes that have more ethical material? And what can I do with my piece of clothing afterwards? And where can I buy clothes that do all those things, like trade? I think there's lots of ways into ethics, which is why I mentioned sort of the 12 rules, is because there are so many ways we can make positive decisions that it's really complicated to say how positive each of those decisions are. You could keep buying Primark and every time you buy, write a letter to your MP. I mean, maybe that would, from Nadia's point of view, it would have more effect if you're doing that. Because, you know, maybe it's not making any difference that I haven't bought on the high street for the last 3 or 4 years. Probably made no difference whatsoever. It definitely hasn't made a difference to their profits as they're continuing to rise. Yeah. And that is quite disheartening. My clothing? It's made a huge difference to how I feel about my wardrobe.
Yeah. But isn't that the same argument people use for not voting? You know, it's the same thing. It's the same, I'm one person, I don't make a difference.
I don't shop in any of those places. Yeah. And it has has made a difference to their profits. I have also written to my MP.
But it's all of those things, yeah, you know, together. At the same time, because it hasn't. That's the problem, is that since 2006 to now, there's been so many of us, like everyone in this room, going, I'm never going to shop one of those brands but they're still, their profit is going up and up and up and up because of the volume of stuff that they sell to such a large percentage of people in the UK. So that's why the education is really important, that eventually we get to a point where people say, we don't want to be buying a £1 t-shirt every day, or I don't want to be buying a £50 dress from Monsoon that's, you know, 40% profit or whatever. I've just made that up, so don't quote me. But but do you know what I mean? Like, we want to get to that point. Clearly, consumerism is a problem. But if now we're thinking about the garment workers, which is where Warren Watt's coming from, then there has to be political action as well. Yeah. The government needs to know that people here don't like that, you know, whether you shop in Primark or not, in a sense. So for, if you know, if you I say this with other things. So, like, for the single mom who goes into Tesco and wants to buy the cheapest school uniform because all her other bills are going up because the price of clothing's gone down, of course you're going to buy the cheapest thing. Now, that's terrible. We shouldn't be buying a shirt for your kid for £1. But I can't tell that mom not to, but I can tell her to write a letter to Tesco as someone who is her, the target buyer, and say, as a single mom who doesn't have very much money in a recession, I'm buying this because, but I think you should be paying a higher percentage of it as a wage. And that's the thing, it's that game where we have to, unfortunately, think on all sides, really.
And I don't think, no, it hasn't affected their profit margins, but ethical fashion is now on the agenda. The fact that H&M are as ridiculous as it is, they're saying we want to be the most sustainable fast fashion company. That wasn't happening 10 years
ago. Of course.
And that's happening because like us are saying, actually, this isn't good enough.
And there's lots of big retailers doing that same thing, looking at their supply chains even and trying to make some difference and improvement. And
but why? That's the thing. Why are they looking at their supply chains?
I think they're looking at it because there's a consumer pressure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But it's also because they've been embarrassed by these big media programs, Panorama, embarrassed by people like you guys and all the everyone else who's been writing to them. They know they've got to do something about it. They're not doing enough. H&M have got this new conscious collection out. It's in less than 5% of their stores, but it is still there, and that wasn't happening. I did the maths the other day. So most consumers won't come into contact with it, but the fact it's there, and that wouldn't have been there 10 years ago.
Yeah. Consumer will then see it, and at some point they won't. They'll be like, do I buy this one or do I buy this one? Now they've got the option.
Yeah.
They'll be able to choose that one. And then they'll go into other shops and want the same again. And then at some point they won't even want to have the other option anymore. They'll just want it. Nearly like with food, I think the development's kind of coming the same way, that you used to only have fair trade coffee and fair trade tea.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a whole range of things and people do go for that. And it's more
people. Only stock fair trade plants. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to make sure that fashion is going where the food industry has gone. We need to just keep pushing that.
But what I've noticed and read a lot about is that a lot of the big brands are focusing on the environmental issues, which often saves them money because they're reducing energy, reducing packaging. They're making a big song and dance about it, so we know that they're doing good. But they are, in the long run, saving money. But when it comes to the social justice issues, they start investigating that and changing that. That's going to cost them money. And they seem to be sweeping that under the carpet a little bit. And we shouldn't be appeased as consumers by these, it's greenwashing in a way, but by these tokenistic ways of going, look, we're saving, you know, waste, we're using less energy, but it doesn't actually save the people, really.
We really know huge amounts about this subject, but obviously we've heard about a lot of the main large shops that are bad, basically. Are there any that are sort of better that we should, because the thing is, when you take the money out of the high street, they just kind of compare all the profits across. So Primark is still quite doing quite well in comparison. If people like us just turn our backs on the high street, rather than buying with somebody who's making those improvements, you can't kind of see the comparison. Do you know what I mean? When people are sort of making positives to change things and then you sort of help support them. I'm just wondering, is there anyone that you could suggest that is making more positive steps so that we can support them rather than kind of, because I just go to the high street now and just don't, and you know, you need pants sometimes.
The thing is, a lot of high street stores like Topshop have already had an organic fair trade range or in collaboration with Peopletree or something, and I don't know, Esprit had a whatever ethical range, this really long ago, but there's always, they sometimes pop up but then they disappear again, so they're not even lasting very long. So to be honest, at the moment, I couldn't tell you. It's just so difficult. You have to just literally read and inform yourself.
But you should say, we showcase quite a lot of brands in the shop that you can come and see a selection of.
Yeah.
We've tried. I mean, every week, there was a point and in 2008, I think, where New Look, actually, being one of the cheaper ones, was doing better. They had much. They scored much better in terms of, you know, working conditions, whatever. But then I think that the next year it went reverted again. So that's why, like, since then it's looked at. It's just going up and down.
Yeah.
It's like one year we're like, yes, they're going for it. They're going to improve, or they've got a really good line of clothing that's making really.
Because they get. I'm just thinking. I remember PeopleTree were working with Topshop for a while, but Topshop got too frustrated because things weren't working their way in the way they're used to working with with their factory.
Yeah.
So then
they
do the project for 1 or 2 years, which gives obviously those people out there, that was in Bangladesh actually, Sisi, the work, and then it doesn't work for Topshop, too slow production. Okay,
so
let's get rid of it again.
But they
think. I don't know. I mean, I think it's quite good to pick whether you want organic, because organic doesn't necessarily mean that it could technically be made in a sweatshop, right? So, but if you choose one thing and maybe research that one, so like we know that, I don't know, you think about it, if it's, what's the one that has all of the models posing to
American Apparel.
Right.
Wow.
They, for example, have been really good with, it's been better with the sweatshop side of things.
Mm.
But then they have this whole other really weird side that it's, you know, apparently you used to wank on the models and that sort of thing. So there's really weird stories, right? You know, there's that kind of side. So you go, I think it's like within you choose and maybe find out about that and don't feel like you have to tick every single box in everything you get. And I don't know, I mean, for me personally, I think one of the things that I found really hard, and like communicating this to my parents as well, like they're a generation where if you spent more, it meant that intrinsically you were getting a better product that would last longer. And that's not like that anymore. Like, if you think about it, if you're going to buy a posher brand, often it just means that they've spent more on advertising or something like that. But I found it really interesting to see, if we look at Marks and Spencer's pants, they've started selling pants by how long you can expect it to last. Like, there's not a date on there.
It should be.
It should be. Like, this will be, you know, because a big issue that I think is, like, you know, the idea that you want to, if you get something, that you check the seams and make sure that it's one being constructed, but you know that it might last you more than a couple of washes still looking nice. But, like, that's interesting that they're reflecting that, like, saying, you're buying these pants because they're longer lasting. Right? Because, like, that's a strange side of it. But, like, you can look at that and get maybe, like, get better at the touch and feel, or start looking.
The education side of thing, where I don't have the knowledge, so I do find that I walk in, and if it's, I'm generally a charity shop buyer, and I do try and buy sort of in Brighton, so it's really easy to get some fair trade, nice, locally made things. But when you do just need those odds and ends, it just, without the education there, it's just so baffling.
But even with the education, it's still completely baffling.
Yeah.
Where to buy, you know, pants for poverty are great, but they have one style that I don't really like wearing.
No.
And that's just, pants is really hard.
I've got a good tip. There's a company called Who Made Your Pants.
Yeah.
And their pants are beautiful. I couldn't buy enough to last me forever because they're not the cheapest of pants. But I then discovered that they have the wonky pant bin where the workers are training on making the pants, so they end up buying 10 pairs of wonky pants for about half the price of, you know,
that's
the original pants. So now I'm sorted for pants now. Thank you very much. And they're all recycled and made a social enterprise. And they've just got slightly wonky gussets, but I can live with that.
This podcast was produced by Miss Wonders Wardrobe. For news, features and campaigns on ethical fashion, visit misswonders.co.uk.